Welcome to Face Your Faith with West Kenyon. It is our hope that today's study will encourage you to grow deeply in your relationship with God as we study the Word together. Now let's join West for today's study.
On this podcast, we are going to look at self-help and whether or not it is something we are even capable of, and what this looks like for a Christian. According to MarketResearch.com, in 2022, Americans spent an incredible $13.4 billion on self-help books and other self-help products. According to WordsRated.com, there are 15,000 self-help books published each year. And according to the oh-so-popular Inquirer, 81% of Gen Zers believe they can write a self-help book that could help the world. And according to WifiTalents.com, Millennials are the largest consumers of self-help content, making up 50% of the market. But this data confused me a bit, since society continues to spiral down the drain. The 15,000 published self-help books annually and the $13.4 billion spent on them appears to be doing nothing. One could certainly argue if the ones who are spending and reading the self-help stuff weren't, things could be much worse. But the reality and idea of legitimate self-help material does not exist. And that includes the Bible. Are you intrigued now? Yes, that's right. Not even God's Word is a self-help book in any way. Crazy talk? This guy's out of his mind? Well, maybe, but I challenge you to listen to the end and find out. The whole point of this topic is to hopefully help especially those who claim Jesus as Lord and Savior and those same individuals who also participate in contributing to the $13.4 billion on self-help material and those who treat God's Word as a self-help book, is to see the reality and truth behind all of this hype. So how can I be so bold as to say there is no such thing as self-help and that the Bible is not a self-help book either? The quick answer? By the simple fact that you sought out other people's ideas, suggestions, and supposed knowledge by reading a book or listening to a podcast. And that is the very act of reaching out for, you got it, help. Had you engaged in true self-help, you would have written your own book and created your own podcast to listen to for what you need help on. The very idea of self-help is a complete contradiction unto itself to what indeed is even taking place. And the definition of self states by one's own actions or efforts. And that means self-help is done all alone with zero external influence. But that is the exact opposite of what is taking place, and we know that from the $34 billion that is spent annually to get other people's answers. Yes, seeking their help. Like it or not, we all need each other regularly for assistance. The existence of humanity is all based on helping each other. And good proof for all that is, I have never witnessed or read about anyone in all of history who operated alone on self. And if I am wrong on that, and you know someone who has originated alone and remained alone until the day they died, then please let me know. From the moment of conception, you were getting assistance, and when you were born, the help continued and will not stop, regardless of how old you are, and it will continue even after you die, because someone will be there to help you get in the grave or an urn. Are you getting the picture? To a very great extent, we are in reality quite helpless. Taking this further, we are not only asking for help all day long, we are receiving help all day long. And the help we are receiving all day long and asking for, we seldom give any thought to, and that because it is so common and ordinary to be surrounded by copious amounts of help. Just one example of that, your entire day has been made possible by everything outside of your own help. You say that is utter nonsense. Well, think again. And just as an example, what is self doing to keep your heart beating? The only reason you were even able to get out of bed today is because your heart kept beating. And you did that? You self-helped that to take place along with the hundreds of other functions that are taking place every millisecond throughout your entire body? The bed you got out of this morning and the pillows and sheets and blankets that gave you a nice night's rest, you think nothing of, very likely. And they were made possible by all of the people, the thousands of workers around the world, and the designers of all of these products that made it possible for you to have them. The only thing self could pull together for a place to sleep is on the floor. But even the idea of sleeping on the floor, you more than likely are picturing yourself on the floor of your house. But remember, you don't have a house. because this too took the help of hundreds of other people to do that for you. It is likely at this point, then, you are picturing yourself lying on a mat or cardboard under some makeshift shelter. But that still is a problem. The mat and makeshift shelter materials were only made available by yet thousands of more people who designed and manufactured those products. But it keeps getting worse, because you also have no clothing. And to that, you say, well, I would learn to sew. But that too is a major problem, and a useless task to take up, and that is because you would have to grow the cotton, harvest it, have a device to spin it into thread, which would lead to needing a loom to make the cloth, which requires tools, of which some are metal and require mining the metal ore from the ground. Do you get the drift? The reality is, at the end of the day, and without the constant help of everyone else but self, you have nothing and will likely survive very few days. And all this is reality, because the very definition of self is autonomous, alone, no other exterior influence. And help, as we said by definition, is to offer services or resources. And the synonyms of our word help make this even better. They are to assist, aid, help out, lend a hand, and so on. So here's the literal definition of self-help. An autonomous individual receiving no exterior influence provides assistance and aid and lends self a hand. And whether it is physical, spiritual, or emotional, we cannot exist on self, because self cannot help self. Why is it then that we hunger for this non-existent help? Well, because we will do anything at just about any cost to be in control of our lives. It is the attitude of, this is my body, and with it, I will do as I please. I will figure it out. I will conquer. I will determine how long I live, how healthy I will be, and I will decide my future. But whether you believe in God as the one in ultimate control or you do not, we do not decide any of this with regard to our lives, and no one else can either. Sure, medicine might keep you alive a bit longer, and eating right and exercise might help you squeak out a few more years, but I have known a number of exceptionally healthy people who did everything under the sun to preserve self, and were diagnosed with cancer and brain aneurysms and died at a very young age, and self didn't stop it. Self is a disaster. We need help, and lots of it, constantly. And this takes us to where I believe we need to turn for help, and that is God. For me at least, when I am going to seek someone's help, I will do my very best to talk to the individual or individuals who are closest to the origin of the thing or things I need help with. For example, if something were to go wrong with my cell phone, it started getting very glitchy and things just weren't working as they had been or should be, I may ask a friend or two about it. But if they were unable to assist me, again, here I am asking for help, I would call the company that made the phone. And I do this because I can't help myself through this issue, because I do not have the knowledge on how to deal with it. And I don't have the knowledge because I was not the one to come up with a product, and I don't understand the intricacies of how it works. So ideally, the one to ask help from would be the designers, the engineers, the chip maker. Not only would that most likely give us an answer, an immediate answer, in fact, on the problem, you would likely get a lot more technical information and potentially on how the problem took place in the first place and potentially how to avoid it in the future altogether. Is this not beginning to sound a lot like how it would be and is if we went to God and asked for help when things go wrong in our life? Not only will God give us the answers, but will too help us on how to avoid future issues. We can't forget, we as humans are very glitchy. We have systems that are constantly crashing. We need to reboot regularly. Often our systems don't interact seamlessly and hassle-free with our other systems. And this is life. But when systems go crazy and don't play nicely together within us, and as it pertains to our individual lives and the technology we live with, we need to ask for help. As we know well, we need to ask for help with these things regularly. And that is okay. It's okay to ask for help. It is, after all, the only way to learn and grow. And when we do not ask for help and pretend we can do it alone, that is when we truly fail. And we only fail because we are self-centered, and it is self-centeredness that leads to self-help, and all the way around, it is living a life that lacks humility. And this is a great segue to look at God's word on all of this. And it begins with humility. It begins with knowledge that we require assistance all day long, and the best assistance, the best help, comes from God. Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Here's what I get from this passage. God is saying, if my people, the people that I made and those who have put their faith and trust in me, my children, not the self-sufficient ones, those who pretend to live autonomous lives without me, those, my children, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Notice here, God is making it very clear you need an outside source to do what is impossible outside of God. And this is our first passage of many that indicate God does not condone self-help. As I said earlier, not even the Bible is self-help. God's word, however, is there to point us to the help, and that is directly to God. God is telling us when we give up the idea that you can do this thing called life on your own, I will help you. And I can help you because you need help, and I know exactly what you need. And this should be a huge comfort to every believer. We have the perfect helper. Reaching out to God is not like getting connected to a call center somewhere in the universe and speaking with someone who may or may not understand you and your needs. God gives us the exact answers to our exact questions and with regard to our exact needs. God says, I will heal your land. I will heal you. But what does God mean when he says, I will heal you? Let's look at the definition of heal. And heal is to become sound and healthy again. Doesn't that sound great? Isn't that exactly what we are looking for with self-help? Our passage does not say God might or possibly will heal us, our land, but he says he will do it if we do our part and trust him and ask for help and dump self. Let's look at Psalm 46, 1 through 2. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Very definitive here. God is our ever-present help. He is always present. He's always there. God is always there to help us, but only when we dump self. So if God is ever present, always present, as our source of help, and God knows all things, why are we even considering turning to self in the first place? I think most of us know that self is a disaster, and that is the only reason we are seeking help to begin with, to correct the deficits in our lives. And you are only able to help someone else if you have something they don't. By the way, if you do not possess something that someone else needs, you can count on one thing. They will not come to you for any help. You are only as good as what you have, and you only have what you have because others have been helping you, or you have sought their help. And we can even take God and religion out of this whole equation, and we are still left with no one being self-knowledgeable. And whether someone pushed knowledge on you, such as learning how to speak or read, or whether you sought out help on your own, you only know what you know from others before you and those you are currently associating with. And if you say you are a complete recluse and all you do is read books, then you are still learning everything you know from everyone else and receiving help. Does this make sense? Let's take a look. How about Isaiah 41:10? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. We read here that God has our backs in all things and at all times if we rely on him for the help he promises. But I want to shift gears here and look at why we need help. Consider this. To a very large extent, we would have little need for the kind of help as we understand it today had sin not entered the world. We generally see help in our lives as a tool. When we ask for help, we are in need of an addition to what we are incapable of doing on our own. Or it could simply be that we are incredibly lazy. But even in that circumstance, we are requesting a resource as an extension of our existence. But this is not what help looked like before Adam and Eve sinned. And I say this because if we take a look at Genesis 2:18, it states, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" But Eve was not a helper in the sense of being a source of wisdom or knowledge for Adam, and neither was Adam to Eve for that matter, and it was not the case either that God created Eve to work for Adam. Nowhere in the scriptures do we see this prior to sin entering the picture. And I believe many Christians make a very bold assumption that Adam was the one who explained to Eve not to eat the forbidden fruit because God had told Adam first. But again, nowhere in Scripture can we find one instance where God told Adam to instruct Eve on anything. Reason being, nowhere does God say that Adam, this is prior to both of them eating the fruit and entering into sin, was over Eve, nor Eve over Adam. And before they sinned, God was over Adam and Eve, and God was first, and God gave them all they needed, and they relied on God for all things, all their life-sustaining needs. See, help in the sense we know it now is a necessity. But remember, Adam and Eve were living in perfection, and they had no needs. As I said, that was fully covered by God. And this is how it will likely once again be when we get to heaven. We will have no more needs, and in like manner, we will no longer need help. It was when sin entered that help as we know it today was necessary. And following sin, it was the first time humanity cried out, "Oh God, please help me." Help came out of desperation, and through sin, we now lacked in every area of our lives. Never would have heard the following words prior to sin, Exodus 14:14. "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." That's compelling. Talk about a helper. This is such an amazing example of what trusting in God looks like. We got ourselves in trouble, and now God is there to take care of us. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases this passage from Exodus, and it says, "God will fight the battle for you, and you keep your mouth shut." And even with that promise from God, we still run to self for help regularly. Ask yourself, just how many battles have you fought and won? No, I don't mean making it out half alive. I mean making it out without a scratch. Because when we rely on self for serious help, we often get killed. When you rely on God, however, you usually walk away just fine. How about this as an example? Remember Daniel, who was put in the lion's den, Daniel 6? King Darius, it says, gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." That's so crazy. No, it's not crazy that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but the fact that King Darius didn't say, "I wish you all the best, I hope you have read a lot of self-help books on fighting starving lions." Far from it. Darius said, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." The king said two very important things in the statement. First, the king said, "I sincerely hope God will save you." Then he said, "I hope the God you rely on for all your help will save you, and that he will help you through this perfectly impossible situation." I'm not aware of a self-help guru who wrote a book on walking out of a cage of starving lions alive without a scratch with the assistance of only self. And what was Daniel's response the next day when the king checked on Daniel? The king said, "Hey Daniel, are you okay?" And Daniel said, "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." So here we have a king who never contributed self-help to Daniel's survival, and neither did Daniel suggest in any way it was himself who kept himself from being devoured. Both of these men knew for sure none of this was self-determined, because this is impossible without an external source of assistance. Daniel called on God, Daniel trusted God, and let God do what only God can do, and that was providing all the help he needed, and Daniel put self out of the picture. And don't forget, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, also in the book of Daniel, Daniel 3:16, it says, "King Nebuchadnezzar bound these three men and had them put into a furnace that was used to incinerate the town's trash. The king ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal." And in fact, it states the soldiers who brought the three of these men to the furnace died doing so because of the intense heat. But just as it was with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, came out of the fire perfectly, and the fire had not harmed their bodies. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. And what did King Nebuchadnezzar say? You guys did amazing in there. How did you pull that off? You really saved yourselves. Not even close. King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." They trusted in God and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. What did the king fully realize? The God of self could not have done this, but only the King of kings and Lord of lords, the God of gods, could give this kind of help and protection. Again, never before sin entered was God intervening in this way for us. If we seek to help self, we are seeking to be God of ourself. And when we see ourselves in this way, we create a God of our own understanding, a God of our image. And when we create a God of our own understanding, we have created that God based on self, and so in the end, we rule the God we created through self. And according to God, that will not end well. Let's take a look at Exodus 20:1 through 4 on that. And God spoke all of these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And this is God speaking to the Israelites. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But I show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands." Self-help didn't seem to work very well for the Israelites either. They couldn't make one good move without the help from who? God. And if you read the Old Testament, the Israelites were constantly attempting to self-help. And you will read every time they attempted self-help, they crashed and burned miserably. But when they dumped self and let God do what only God can do for them, they had it better than anyone could ever have it. Let's look at James 1:22 through 25. "Do not just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law of God that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do." And the use of the mirror in this example is profound. Self-help is doing nothing more than looking in the mirror. What you see is all you get back, your reflection, and it has nothing to offer you. So is self-help fact or fiction? The answer is clear if we get out of self long enough to see the source of perfect help, and that is far beyond self. And if self is our best friend, I recommend you do go back to the mirror and take a good look. And what you will see, if you are honest, is a pretty frail and helpless identity looking right back. Thank you.